So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that it is so true that we can sing all things are now possible, that which was impossible from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve had sinned and could not therefore come to immortality while they stood there living, is possible in this hour because it's been vindicated to us that somebody, somewhere, some peoples will be changed to immortality as the dead come out of the earth. Those bodies appear here on the surface of the ground. They'll be changed and all will be caught away in their serried ranks to the wedding supper, the great wedding supper of the Lamb. We know that's true, Lord, and we know it's happening now. It's got to be happening now because everything is so propitious and everything has been so vindicated to that end. Lord, may we honestly be a part of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 8 in Does God Change His Mind About His Word? And we're on page 20. Now, in preceding comments relative to this message, that's my own preceding comments relative to this message, we have noted that the Word of God as written or oral substance is not the Word of God in reality as of the essential mind of God unless it is spiritually revealed. In other words, the Word of God, though absolutely given by God, cannot be called the Word of God unless it is spiritually revealed by the essential mind of God Himself. In plain English, God has to say exactly what He means. And that meaning, of course, can only come to those people who are baptized with the Holy Ghost, the elect children of God. That's why at the end time it says all but the very elect will be deceived. Now, you know as well as I do that there is an election. And that election, as Brother Branham said, is like a bolt of cloth laid across the table. And the tailor or the tailoress lays out a pattern and cuts the cloth. And the cloth is identical what is in the pattern or what is left outside. Now, that's what you're looking at here with the wise and the foolish virgin. There is an election. But only the wise are those who go into the wedding supper. And contrary to people's thinking, you'll notice the Scripture divides the foolish with the wicked. So that at the end time, there's only really two groups of people at the time of the separation by the Word, which precedes the separation by the rapture. So what you're looking at then is the very elect alone can receive the revelation. That's what I said this morning already in prefacing a few remarks to you. Brother Branham talks about how that the bride is whispered to by the bridegroom and she can understand what's between the lines and they have their secrets, their mysteries together, their love notes and so on. So you can see at this time there is a special time of wooing, a special time of grace, a special time of ministering, where Christ comes to a bride which, according to Scripture, is so deplorable as to be not recognized at all by Almighty God as a part of His Word. That's the way the church is. So we find here that even though the Word of God could be oral or written, and the substance can be 100% correct, there is no guarantee. In fact, the Bible warns that you simply cannot pick up the book and read it. As Brother Branham says, open the book, Lord. He said anybody's hands can open this book, but he said it takes your spirit to really open it to us. Now, all this comes through a prophet. The oral or the written word, the verbal or the word that is written out, printed word, all comes through prophets, and also does the true understanding of that word. Now, you'll notice that even with the prophets, there were times they didn't understand the word because it wasn't their hour to understand it. Just because the prophet wrote the book, got it right from Almighty God, didn't mean that he had the true revelation of it in the sense that he knew exactly what was happening or would happen in that hour. And you notice how it was with Daniel. God just closed him off. He said, shut the book, forget it. And so you can see here then the true application of 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. And I'll just read it because I can't quote it to you, and I'm not even going to pretend I can. So, what, you know. You ought to stop being a hypocrite somewhere. I might as well start right here this morning. Here, Paul says here, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, when he comes, shall come to be glorified in his saints, that's verse 10 of chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians, and to be admired in all them that believe. Now notice, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now we believe that's the descent of the angels. It's in this hour that Paul's testimony is believed, not back there. And that's what makes the difference. Now the point is, who knows what Paul said? Oh, anybody can read it. Oh, can they? Listen, I've studied this Bible for a long time, and I have a gift on top of it. And until Brother Branham disclosed in Daniel's 70th week, Ephesians 1:17, I didn't have a clue. And that opened up the whole Bible, the whole truth of eternity. You see, it takes a prophet, because God uses prophets. And so somebody had to come on the scene with the true revelation of what Paul wrote. And there was a special testimony of Paul concerning what he's talking about. And you know what it is? The Lord himself, with those mighty angels, descend to earth, opening the seals, which immediately breaks the people into two groups, true believers and those who aren't the true elect. Now, you just tell that to some great theologian. He's not going to believe you. He say, well, hey, we have vindication. Ah, vindication, schmindication. You know, like the old Scotchman said, you wouldn't know God if you met him in your porridge. They don't have a clue. But now you listen to me. They're religious. They're religious, and they'll fight. And they'll tell you, now listen, don't you tell me different, because I'm right. You better know that you're wrong, and you better come to us, or we'll get you. Now, this is the truth. We saw that last night. This comes through the prophet. Along with that, it is set forth that only the elect church of God are equipped to receive the revealed faith, whereas others who attempt to understand or live from the oral and written word invariably change it. Invariably, consistently, never changing from their ways, they always change it. Okay? They change it. And still in most cases, you know, concerning these people, to them it's a reality. You say, Brother Vail, how can a thing which is not real be a reality? Do you ever hear of delusions? You know, the guy that's deluded thinks you're wrong. The word in the Bible is deceived. Another word is seduced. The words seduce and deceive are not necessarily the same, although they get you to the same place. It just means that one puts a favorable picture where you want to be a part of it, instead of remaining in the realm of the purity. Now this causes the clash, as Brother Branham said, of light and darkness. I used the term light and darkness, he didn't, but you understand truth and error. The clash of revelation of God in his word, jealousy is aroused, hate enters, then even murder. And Brother Branham traces these thoughts by way of Cain and Abel, Moses and Balaam, Moses, Korah, Balaam, and Abiram. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram against Moses. So now on page 20, we're ready to read again. As we read the last paragraph last night, number 99. Now notice Moab, to begin with, was an illegitimate nation. In other words, its very conception was illegitimate. It was wrong. It was a terror. No matter how good it looked, it was wild oats. It couldn't fulfill what it said it was going to fulfill. It just didn't have it. I don't know too much about tares and wheat, but I came from Canada where they have wild oats. And wild oats look just like the real genuine McCoy. But when it comes for harvest time, it ain't got nothing in it. It's just nothing to it. There's no substance. But it's in there growing. See, now notice it was illegitimate. It started out illegitimate. A father believer and a daughter believer. Now that's exactly true because Lot was a nephew of Abraham and understood the true concept of God, though it was not spiritually revealed to him. And in the time of decision, Lot always made the wrong decision. He couldn't make the right decision because he was not a true elect child of God, but he was related. You see, all right. Just exactly, if you'll type that and use a spiritual mind. Now watch what he says here. Your spiritual mind can begin to catch in Scripture the way Paul did. He said, the Old Testament is a full of illustration book for you and for me. And you'll see everything in there that's come out in the New Testament in perfect type, perfect antitype. And then you go back and look and say, hey, I can see all these things back there as actual illustrations. Now he said, your spiritual mind will catch. And you can see that denomination standing there just as plain as anything. That Moab was a denomination. And you notice that's exactly true. A denomination will always use God. Whereas a true child of God will be obedient to his father. He won't try to use him. It's like Brother Branham one day said to Jack Palmer, maybe not quoting the exact words, he said, Jack, he said, don't keep asking God for things. He said, just live the life, believe. You know there's a law of sowing and reaping? If you sow the word unto God, it's got to come back. I wish I'd proved that every way in my life like I proved it in some ways. You know, when you take your stand to obey the word of God and to believe that things happen like you cannot believe, the power of prayer and the power of faith. And it's just a matter of you knowing that you're a real child of God and you can stand right there and take the things that come your way knowing that God's going to work it all out. But you see, these people here were using God. They said, now, tell you what you do, Balaam. You go up there and you have God come down and curse these people. And in the meantime, he said, he'll bless us. In fact, the very time that we get rid of you is the time blessing is going to come. And that's what Jesus said. He said, they're going to kill you believing they're doing me a favor. They're going to do themselves a favor. Get rid of these guys. See, that's the way those crazy Arabs are over there right now. The actual fact of the matter is the real Arab knows that Israel is blessed of Almighty God, and they wouldn't have half the jobs, they wouldn't have anything except Israelites are over there, and I don't care how they got there. Brother Branham said, I don't care if Zionism put them in there, God wanted them there. It's only since they went back there the desert began to blossom as a rose and things began to turn. And you watch what happens. America's on the verge of turning on Israel right now, and Shamir is causing it by refusing to come to the party. He wants to come 5 days late. Now, come on, do you think America's going to stand back and take that? America's already turned. Rockefeller tried that when the Arab oil was running out, and he put huge ads in the papers and had to take them out, defending the Arabs against Israel. He said, let's go in there and pump Israel out in the ocean. Get rid of them. Brother Branham said America will turn on Israel. It's been turning on and will turn on him. Bush is not a man of compassion for Israel. He won't put up with it. Truman couldn't stand. He cussed the Jews out. You know what he called them too. See, they got the paper. You bet your life they pull out the votes. They butt their nose in Americans' business. America has turned on the Jew and will continually turn on him. It's a pitiful situation. It's too bad that, but they're there, they're in the land, and let's remember, out of the few million people, there's only 144,000 make it. And I don't know anything that calls any of the rest of those millions foolish virgins. I don't know. Just 144,000 sealed. I don't know of anyone making it. Under the fifth seal, all Israel comes up to that time. But until that time, I haven't got a word that Brother Branham said. I don't know a thing in the Bible. Of course, if I had found the Bible, I wouldn't know it anyway, except looking at Brother Branham's there. All right. They are denominational-minded, and they hate Israel. They want Israel out of the way. And they're sure if Israel's out of the way, God will bless them. And the biggest blessing that they could bring then upon themselves in Moab would be for God to curse Israel. Now, this is a picture of denomination. If it weren't for a bunch of punks like us, the whole Christian world could come together. That's right. We're the cream of the crop for being dissenters. Because we believe in a positive vindication we can stand by. And the rest don't believe it, of course. They don't believe it. See, here you are. You're seeing denomination. You're seeing just what they are. See? Now, see, the whole thing is altogether wrong. Their conception is wrong. Their inception is wrong. Their thinking is wrong. Everything is wrong. And look, when it started like that, it keeps like a snowball. Just keeps rolling more and more. You get one error and start on that one error. You just keep rolling one thing after another, and one after another, all after another. That's the way the church started. In other words, when you have one error, you go to the second, you go to the third, you go to the fourth, you go to the fifth. That's why you have seven solid church ages in solid error, until at the end time she's wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. And she says, hey, that's the wrong description. Why, we're rich, increased in goods. And we don't lack a thing. You mean to tell me we're naked? We got all of this? Well, how could we be naked when we stand here so beautiful? Even John stood back and marveled. You talk about a bunch of accomplishments. Absolutely. Let's go to John chapter 10 for a second here. And see if there's something interesting in John 10. And we go to the 4th verse to 28. Now it came to pass, then came the Jews around about him, said to him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, how in the world can anybody invoke a curse upon God's people? How can they do anything against God's elect? It cannot be done. But they will try to do it on the grounds of extermination. But remember, when the devil tried that on Job, he said, that's fine. He said, that's just good by me, because in the latter days, I'm going to stand upon this earth in my own flesh and see my Redeemer face to face. See, there was no way that you can bring these people down. Now, notice in here, the sheep hear the voice. And Jesus said, he said, you have seen the mighty works. Now, the Moabites knew of the mighty works of God through the hand of Moses. Yet at the same time, they did nothing but come against it and said, hey, look at this. Now look, well, there could be something that God did for him. But what God did for them, he'll do even more for us. Now, if that isn't Pentecostalism, I don't know what I'm talking about. That's your swaggers and your robbers and your Tommy Osbournes and your Hicks, he's passed on now. I knew a bunch of them. I'm not essentially proud. I never did get no swagger. I'm proud of the fact that I didn't know him. I'm not proud of the fact that I knew some of these other guys. They were so high and so mighty. I was with the prophet. That's your life. The man that was God through the people. I didn't know the God that held Oral Roberts kidnapped for $5 million. We haven't met. Except I think he used to serve him before I got saved. It's true. That's the way it started at Nicaea, Rome, with the Roman Catholic Church at the very beginning, when it came from Pentecost. But when they organized and brought in the celebrities into the church, they started having prayers and running beads and praying for the dead and all these other things. And then it just started rolling from one era to another era until, look where it's gone to. Like Brother Branham said, you add one thing, one, take away, take away, take away, add, and pretty soon you've got nothing left in the Word of God. All traditions. Now, watch. There's not one representation of Pentecost in it all. Now, what did Brother Branham mean when he said there's not one representation? And that, what he's saying is the same thing he said to you and me. If we didn't have representation back there, we don't have it now. In other words, they never were in Pentecost. Now, what are we looking at? Pentecost is the inception of the church. The church was born there. Also, at that particular time, a foundation was laid from 33 1/2 till about 1953, when the Gentiles positively were turned to and God turned away from Israel. And Israel is now blinded for almost 2,000 years. And anyone being saved comes up under election under the fifth seal. The souls under the altar. Now, they're going to be all right because there's not one of God's children will ever be cast away. That was a promise made to Abraham. God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He will not destroy his own seed. There is no way he will do it. I don't care what happens. There's a way he'll bring them in. Like we already studied that under Brother Branham here. His will, his perfect will they missed, but his complete divine will not be missed. No, sir. Man can boondoggle things up and mess things up, but he's not going to count, he's not going to come against God and destroy the plan of God. So he said there's not one representation in Pentecost at all. In other words, the church, as John saw in the book of Revelation, he said, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. And Brother Branham categorically gave the truth. He said a pillar is part of the foundation. Now, Brother Branham is telling us here that the Roman Catholic Church doesn't have a foundation. Right. It doesn't go from the top, the bottom, all the way to the top. It's completely false. Because the people that were the original Pentecostal church in Rome ceased to exist by the time of the next generation. They had brought in heathen gods and given them saints' names. Anybody knows that. You can read the history. You know, there's none so blind as those who don't want to see. And why would any Catholic want to see different when he thinks he can pay the Pope and get away with murder like the Kennedys or adultery or anything else? Well, you got a Roman Catholic religion built upon Leo and Tetzel where you can pay today for the sins you want to do tomorrow. Well, try that with AIDS. Give the Pope a bundle of money and cohabit with a bunch of prostitutes or males out there with AIDS. I tell you what, I'll give $500 this morning to start a fund to give the Pope so you can do something like that. In fact, I'll raise the ante to $5,000. Call my bluff. I have no trouble writing a check. It won't bounce. See what I'm trying to tell you? How can anybody ever say such a blasphemous thing as that? Pay today, you can sin tomorrow. It's all free, it's all done. The wages of sin is death. Think you can buy that for some filthy gold or silver? It's where the Roman Catholic Church is, and the Protestants are no better. And I know some Branhamites ain't even that good without mentioning preachers' names. Talk about a Roman Catholic spirit of hell. I disassociate myself 100% from it. Let me go to your Bible. We're going to take the book of Revelation backwards instead of forwards. We're going to go to Revelation 17 and 8. And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And Brother Branham put that down by divine revelation as a succession of popes who call themselves the vicar of Jesus Christ. And this end time guy has a historian that says, well, he's got the fisherman's ring. What in the name of common sense is the fisherman's ring? Well, I can get the ring to put it from a bull's nose and put it in my nose. It doesn't make me a bull. I can dress in women's clothes and put an ear box. It won't be a woman. Where is there any authority in the ring? Or some gown or some cap? And yet that's all the Catholic Church depends upon. Come on, let's face it. Right here, it says the bottomless pit, and that's the pit of the abyss. Now, what is an abyss? It isn't that the abyss doesn't have some type of dimension. It means that there is no dimension that is now real when you consider it. You consider abyss. You look down and you go blank. If you fall in it, you're finished. If you're in there, you can't get out. What good is it? It's a trap. So this is a trap. A religious trap. Without a foundation. Now notice the association. He comes out of the bottomless pit. So he doesn't have a vestige in Catholicism and the Protestant whores that go back to Pentecost, which is a true church. They're not a part of it. But they'll kill you and me for sayings, though. And they'll talk about great God, hallelujah. And the Pentecostals will get gifts of the Holy Ghost. Genuine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Just like if I broke this little doorknob thing up to the light, and I gave each one of you a little piece of it. See? Now that's what they think they're getting. A part of the Holy Ghost. They don't. Huh? It's like the little light in here that shines. All you can do is see it, but you haven't got a part of it. So they got something to manifest. A little gift, like Brother Branham says, I can remember, if I give you my pen, I don't give you myself, I just give you a gift. Now, with this understanding, this church does not have a foundation. It is not a part of reality. But they worship. And they can have trapping so close to the real and say, look where we come from. Just the same as Lot and his filthy daughter and his filthy grandson said, hey, we're a part of Abraham. Now we're going to start going backward. Well, I can't go backward. I got to go forward and then I go backward. We go to the book of Revelation 20:1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now this guy that came out of there, he's going to be chained up. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old dead serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and even Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now what's the binding? It's a chain of circumstances. That's why the millennium is a further place of sanctification. Satan is bound so we can be expansive. The very thing I told you, I told Brother Branham. I said, Brother Branham, I said, I just wish, when I look at my life and people around me, everything, oh God, I said, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just had the chance to have a life we could be married and have our children and live a life that without this lousy sin and these things going on. Why? He said, Lee, you're talking about the millennium. Well, hallelujah. If he said that's what I'm talking about, that's where I want to go. Because I won't be satisfied until I have that. You say, deep calls to deep. Well, if my deep is wrong, I'm going to go to hell and I'll be annihilated. But if my deep is right, I'm going to be there. Now, listen. He's bound by chain of circumstances. Cast into the bottomless pit. In other words, the guy faces his own music. He faces the thing that he built. Every man will face the thing that he built, his life that he built, or whether wood, hay, or stubble, or this or that, or the other thing. See? Now, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should no more deceive the nations till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed. Now, let's go back to where I want to go. Revelation, the 9th chapter. Now, I'm doing my best to teach this, right? I haven't got, brother, the Word of God's authority on this, but as it comes to my mind, I'm looking at this and saying, this is what I believe Brother Branham had in his mind. You've got to understand that. I'm no infallible preacher. Okay, the 9th chapter. The 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. In other words, he tells you what's in this religion, this system, and what's going to come out of it. This is the end of Romanism and Protestantism as one great world church. No foundation. Huh? Out of us comes the resurrection, immortality, the rapture, the wedding supper. Right to New Jerusalem. Look what this is producing. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. It was given power. The scorpions of the earth have power. Commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither green or any green thing, any tree. And only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So there is what's it going to fall on. It's not going to fall on the elect. They're going to be gone out of here. And to them it was given they should not kill, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment is the torment of a scorpion when he strikes the man. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it. Shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shape of the locusts were like horses prepared unto battle. Their heads were like crowns of gold, and face to face, and they had long hair. What did Brother Branham say? That was hallucinations. Now listen, hallucinations come out of hallucinations. The Roman Catholic Church and Protestantism is based upon hallucinations, which means absolute mental aberrations caused by a spirit and a mind gone completely kaput and under control that is not within them anymore. You tell me the church is not out of control? The church is out of control. There's only one people in control, and that's the one that you came down in the klusma, which puts the church in order in 1 Corinthians 15. Never forget it, because that's your true divine church order. Let's keep reading. They had hair like women, teeth like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, and they were breastplates of iron. The sound of wings, the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Yes, they're running right to Armageddon. What happened? You think that when the Pope could have saved the Jews, did he save the Jews? No, but the Catholics are trying to tell you now that old Leo there, or Pope Pius rather, he was trying to save them. Oh, are you kidding me? Bunch of liars from the ground up. And there's no truth in them. There never will be any truth. And let's get that down flat. They will never recover. Chaff is chaff. How'd you farmers like to have that? You say, well, bless God, here my ground, my grain's all golden grain, hallelujah, and you're ready to put the combines in, and suddenly God says, hey, let's put it down a little bit like that again. Oh, my God. What's going on here? We've got a couple farmers here. Greg's not here, but Gene is, and I've been around farms a lot of my life. Pete raised in the biggest grain country in the world. No doubt about Saskatchewan. I don't think you ever saw that, did you, Pete? Never came. Then you think God's any different when he decreed springtime, summer, and harvest? As surely as night follows day and day follows night, you're going to have a harvest. You might not have much in it, but you're going to have a harvest, even if it's just chaff. I know those old piles back when I was a kid, the grain. They put the grain in the granary. The grain might be 8 feet by 6 feet by 8 feet. All studs in there, very good crisscross, and the grain is, and you should see the straw stack. Man, just like a house. Teeny bit of grain, great big straw stack. They burned it. It's like the smell of the burning. It's kind of nice in the fall. No, it's too dangerous. All right. Breastplates were breastplates of iron, and so on. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the king of the bottomless pit. That's the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means destroyer. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. That's destroyer. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two more. That's just the first part of it. This is what the church is bringing upon itself. That's why Brother Branham said when the flood came, people brought it on themselves by the going off of the bombs. They did it. What's happening today in the world? The ozone is disappearing. They dig those, you know, and the gulfs, the streams of the air currents, all of these things are changing. Indonesia is taking up the rainforest at a terrible rate of speed. It's the same. Everywhere you see, man is destroying nature. And it's going to hit him. And it's not God doing it. It's what they're doing. And get out of the churches. Start serving and worshiping God and don't buckle down to man. There's only one great one amongst us. That's the God, your God Himself. See? All right. Let's go to Revelation 2. Verse 18. I'm the angel which the messenger in the church in Thyatira write. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire and feet as brass. Now here's the judge. I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and patience and thy works and the last be more than the first, notwithstanding a few things against, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed to idols. And he says right in here, he said, this church here has a few elect in it, and they haven't even really stood up against the lies. You wonder how it is that you got men in the Catholic Church, and that's the Dark Ages. It's hundreds of years in there, and the elect of God were scattered throughout, and they protested the Catholic Church, but the thing is they stuck with it until Luther protested it. And pulled out. In fact, they threw him out. Well, he ran for his life. He wasn't an idiot. The Bible said, if they persecute you here, run to another city. Don't say, here I am, come and take me. You know, the mentality of so-called Christians, I just don't buy because it's not Bible. See, they went again, and they did not repent. And he said, because you will not repent in the space that I gave you to repent, behold, I'll cast her into the bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, and except they repent of their deeds, and I'll kill her children with death. In other words, spiritual death. That's why Brother Branham took in Malachi 4, when he said, leaving neither root nor branch, he took it plumb to the white throne, where they're annihilated. This church brings every one of these curses on itself, plus annihilation, because it doesn't have the seed within it of eternal life. It's only got life for a limited time, and when that's over, it's gone. Yeah, it's got a time bomb on it. A self-destruct. Yeah. How would you like to self-destruct? But the sheep hear the voice. They have eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. Here's your two churches, your organization. See? Now, when Martin Luther started off with justification, this ought to be the further advanced Lutheran church. That's right. That's right. This church today should be the further advanced Lutheran church. We should all be Lutherans, having split and come out in the original, come out by the Word. Justification. And should have taken the next step and the next and the next. But every time they failed because they would not correct their condition and repent of organization, which means you're sitting under a man instead of Almighty God. No preacher has the right to take authority over anybody. It is the Word of God that takes the authority, and he stands there and preaches it, then stand back and watch it. And if you think the men are poor dirty deeds, he kicks you out. Or as the deacons do it. Brother Branham said there's only one reason, that's gross immorality. So any fornicating people or homosexuals, you are not welcome on the authority of God's Word. Get out and stay out. Except you repent. Now, God being tough, that's the Word of God. What are you supposed to do? Stand back and get my own ideas? Oh, no, just step down and be one of us. Are you kidding? That's what the church has done, become homosexual. Big fat Father Boyd, right down there in Cincinnati, sat there on that panel with Dunhamire and these other people, and he sat there like a big fat overgrown toad. He couldn't lift one finger up for God's people. Dannemeyer was the only one that stood there and stood against the homosexuals. and homosexuality is bringing the utter destruction upon this earth because people will not stop fornicating. You got your Magic Johnsons and all those guys can say what they want. You got your Wilt the Stilt and the rest of them. And they let you know plumb in the world, hey, this is our fun, we're going to do it. And you might as well join the fun. While I will not join their fun. I don't intend to self-destruct. Because it's not my nature. The nature is to believe the word of Almighty God. This should have been the Lutheran church, but it's not. When he organized, he could not take Wesley's sanctification because he was organized, certainly. The Lutherans couldn't take it. So the Spirit moved out of it. Now you got a foolish virgin situation. The word that they had run its course. And they wouldn't take the next step, which was sanctification. So now they go seeking further. And they can't get any more, so they said, this is all of it. And they put it all down and say, this is the way it is. And they signed it and said, now we're going to stand for this because this is our life. And the life has moved on. Wouldn't it be great for a farmer to pull that on his wheat? Be satisfied. Say, well, that's it. Well, hey, you nuts, you haven't got your seed back. Oh, well, that's fine, that's it. Then it goes this higher. The next person said, well, that's it. And cuts it off. There's not a farmer in the world doesn't want to harvest. And he knows the life keeps going up till it goes right into a little seed. He's got to get right back where it was. What his original was. What was our original? Right back there in the spirit form, spirit body. And you get there by dying. And you pick up that form. And if you stand here, the form picks you up in midair. You got to get back to where you were, see? But the organization wouldn't lend it. Now, look, Lot's group here, Moab was Lot's daughter, illegitimate, just like Cain, see, to start with. Now, notice, as the natural church, Moab represents the natural denomination. Israel represents the spiritual church. Israel, the true church, was the bride of that day, called out of Egypt, and vindicated to be the truth. Now, what is he saying? Is he saying that the bride was vindicated to be the truth, or was it her call to be the truth? Well, it's both. It's both. Because if she's true seed, she's got to have a true call. Because I want to tell you something, wheat is wheat, 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 wheat is never old, old, old. Now you can try to hybridize some things and get away with it, but it goes to nothing. You can't keep it up. Because the life has gone out of it. See, that's what's wrong. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we'll see what Brother Branham is saying here. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant that how all that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they that drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That tells you right there. There is a true type, a true picture of the bride coming up. Now notice, when she came out to be the ones that entered into the land, a whole bunch of others came with them. Now, it says here, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, there's nothing wrong with them being Israelites, but they weren't seed. They were merely children, not true children. And they could trace their lineage back to Abraham. Now, the Roman Catholic Church wants to trace itself back to Rome. And it does that. And they want to trace themselves back to Peter, which is the greatest fallacy of all, because if you're going to pick anybody for the Gentile church, you've got to pick Paul. So where are they? They're hybrids. They don't know who the mammy and pappy is. They're mules. They're not horses. They're not associated with God's gallant animal. Upon which he rides. He's riding upon a horse, which is a power. You can call it the head. You can call him head of the bride. There are many ways you can type these things. Oh my, what a situation here. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, or some as written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. as some of them committed. And Fowler one day 23,000. He's telling you right there what can happen. And it's already happened in the first Corinthian church, because he said you've already been defiled. It's already set in. What did it? Turning from the Word because they weren't seed in the first place. Now you see, here's where people can't grasp it. They think they understand predestination. They think they understand election. They don't, because they don't understand serpent seed. If you don't understand serpent seed and the injection into the human race, you cannot give God justified marks for turning anybody aside and destroying him. You can't do it. Because you got him destroying his own flesh and blood. He condemned us for doing it. How can God stand back there righteous and condemn you and me for what he does himself? Well, you know that's asinine, completely ridiculous. Wouldn't hold water for 5 seconds. Just like a leaky sieve. God doesn't tell us one thing and do another. He has his thoughts and has us come in and enjoy his thoughts. So there's this, you can see what Brother Branham is saying here. You see? Moab represents a natural denomination. Israel represents a spiritual church. See, they came out of Egypt. We come out of Babylon. Vindicated to be the truth. Now, what vindicated them? The time of the blessing and the cursing vindicated them. Because God stood with Moses and refused the cursing of Israel, and Moab went down in battle, destroyed, the same as they're going to go in Armageddon. Right, you got a perfect picture. Moses the prophet. Israel the clean people. Cleaned by the blood of the Lamb. Called up by Almighty God. Notice, when those came together, both of them offered the same sacrifice. Both built 7 altars. Both offered up clean sacrifice, the ox. They even offered up rams, testifying there was a coming Messiah. But look what they believe about it. Do they believe the appearing? No way. To them, the appearing is the rapture. Hogwash. I can take one scripture and blow that plumb out of the arena. When you can take one scripture that blows every scripture out of the arena, you better realize you are depending upon supposition, not upon realization by vindicated revelation. Word of God distinctly says, now are we the sons of God, yet it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And it tells you absolutely, you've got to see him before you get your change. But they're telling you, you will get your change and then you'll see him. That is a lie. And you've got to see him in that revealed word, because that's exactly what 2 Corinthians, the 3rd and 4th chapter, tell you. That's exactly how it comes about. But you'll never get the other people to believe that. Nobody but us Branhamites. And I use the term without fear of reproach. Doesn't bother me anybody said I am a Branhamite. When it comes to where my faith and my hope is pinned, as to Revelation. Not my salvation. Because when I found people calling William Branham Jesus Christ, I said, Brother Branham, they call you Jesus Christ. He said, I know that, Brother Vale. Not only do I know that, but they will strike a medal or have already done it. That William Branham is Jesus Christ. You must baptize in his name. I said, Brother Branham, I love you, but you are not Jesus Christ. You did not save me. You did not die from you. For me. I respect you, but that's the end of it. When they further pressed the question, a man said, well, we know when they talk about William Branham being Jesus Christ, I get a real feeling of wanting to believe it. It gives you kind of exaltation. Well, I thought, well, I better talk to Brother Branham about that, because I didn't get that way. I said, Bill, when they make you Jesus, I get mad. He said, that's the way it should be. If he'd have said different, I'd have walked off. William Branham was a total representation of Almighty God in this earth, but he wasn't God. But he was God to the people. That's a different story entirely. It's just like our ambassadors. Anybody can understand that and understand protocol. God's got a government. The world's got a government. Come on. God's got his cosmos. Devil's got his cosmos. We've got our cosmos. The world church has got its cosmos. 100% different.
All the train sick is they think they're going to get what we know we got. And we know they're going to get what we know we don't get. Not rejoicing over it, it's just a fact of revelation. In revelation of vindication. You see? Now, notice, what was the difference between them? Fundamentally both right. But you see, Moab did not have the vindication of God with them. They were only a nation, a group of celebrities, but Israel had a prophet with them. They had a smitten rock with them. They had a pillar of fire. They had a brass serpent for healing. They had the blessings of God moving right along with them. And they were the called out children of God. And that's right, the rest of them stay in there. And a few foolish virgin come out and miss it because they don't come with vessels that contain the power of God, the Holy Ghost. There's no place in them for it. The foolish virgin, if they had a place for it, they would have got it. They didn't have a place for it. It's too bad. They wouldn't take the word. And so therefore they sit right there. It shows you who are those, the true called out ones, those that will follow the prophet. Now, these are the come out ones then of Revelation 18 and 4. And they are not too much different that come out from the fundamentals because they believe in one God, but we believe in only one God who had a son. We don't believe in three gods or two gods. Everybody will try to tell us here that we believe in two gods because we categorically say that Jesus is the Son of God, and that's the way it is. Brother Branham said that. I'm not going to change it. How are you going to change the whole Word of God? It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say, blessed be the God who is His own Father. Jesus wasn't His own Father. Don't give me that claptrap and balderdash. He's not eternal Son. Sons have beginnings. There's the Genesis. It may be like when the guy that carved David, Michelangelo, and they marveled at it and they said, oh my, he said he was locked in there for several million years. Well, where did Jesus come from? The bosom of the Father? He was locked in there, it's the Son. Where were you locked in before you were born? In your father's loins? What are you trying to tell me? You know, the way to go crazy the quickest is to be religious. To be the goofiest goof-off. The most mystical mystic. If you want aberrations, get religious. If you want the right mind, get the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage and love and a sound mind. The only sound-minded people there are those that are in the groups like us that really believe the word of the prophet is vindicated. There's nothing else real. Everything else is going to go down the drain, burned up. It's going to explode. It's got a time bomb in it. A self-destruct. Come on. Do you understand what I'm saying? Annihilation, the lake of fire, comes out of these things because it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It is not eternal. It's a self-destruct. It's got to finish. It's got to end. Everything is commensurate with it. Our bodies are commensurate with the life of God when we get those new bodies. Their bodies are not. There's a limit, a principle in there. Ours is not a principle. Ours is a life which contains principles. It may sound a little bit off, but I think I'm right. They're the called out ones. Now listen, they're on the way to the promised land. They're on the way to the promised land when they run into this. So therefore, the problem with us is denominational thinking, which we can't seem to let go. You know the way to get rid of your Trinitarian dogma? Said there's only one God, so who cares? Well, how do you figure this? I don't figure enough. There's one God. Well, let's argue. Shut up. I'm not talking. Why waste my time? You're going to argue this, argue that. I'm going to argue this. There's one God. How do you know? Vindication. The fact of the matter is, show me one Jew. Show me one writing in history that says three gods. Can't do it. Even the Jews understood Rhema and Logos was one and the same. You can't get people to believe that today. All right, now we find that so perfectly typed here in the churches of today. Israel was a sojourner from place to place. That's right. The church came up, leaving, place, and come from a lower place to a higher place, word, spirit. Now there's no more word, there's no more spirit, it's all over. They're in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. That's where we are today. The very thing the Apostle Paul preached about the Ephesians, we have attained to. And people say, well, I just think it should be something different. See, there you go again. Why don't you take it the way it is? See, that's the trouble. People want their vindication vindicated. Come on. Vindication is for one purpose, perfect faith. And when that which is perfect is come, the perfect revelation, there isn't any more. So therefore, the hour has arrived that all mysteries are concluded and the entire gospel is finished. Revelation 10 and 7. Now, watch. Wherever the pillar of fire moved, they moved with it. Right? Brother Branham said the pillar of fire will move us into the millennium. Will take us to the millennium. The same as the pillar of fire, not Moses, took them into Canaan's land. And he said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. And remember, he said the same thing, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man, but God, and it comes by a prophet. You got the same thing right here. Now, they moved with it, the pillar of fire. So are we moving. We're moving on and on in the revelation. Moab, not so. They were settled down in their own denomination. See? Down in their own nation. They didn't move. They stayed right there. They had their celebrities. The God of this world. They bunch out there in Hollywood. They ordained things as they should do. And they had their warriors. They had their fighters. They had their king. You know, the big president, big pope, general superintendent, all that kind of stuff. They had their orders, and so on and so on. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians here. All right. In that third chapter, you notice that Paul the Apostle has already been talking about the power of life and death. Then he goes on to speak of his vindication. And then he speaks of the people that you are literally, he said, you are manifestly declared to be the prophets, to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. He said that you are literally the living Word of God concerning the vindicated gospel that I preach, that you are that life that is in that gospel, and Christ is our life. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He said, by vindication, I'm proving that what I have told you and you have received is right. You are it. To me, to tell me I'm the elect of God, he said, nobody else but you. I don't think I believe that. You see, brother, sister, where the world is, organization, all this nice stuff out there. You know, you feel, oh, I'm so sympathetic. I wouldn't do that. You bet you wouldn't, because you're not God and you don't belong to God. Neither do I under those grounds. Now, I'm not abusing anybody. I'm standing here with you. My finger doesn't point out there and not three fingers point back at me. Don't think for one minute I'm trying to pull something on you. It won't work. Now listen, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth and the Spirit giveth life. In other words, the divine and true revelation of God's Word that comes from this man that you receive is greater than you think. You're looking at something else, but this is what you should be looking at. Because the conduit of the Holy Spirit is the Word. Well, bless God, I don't need the Word. I can just do so-and-so. That's what Pentecost has said for years. Oh, we've gone beyond the Bible. Hallelujah. Gone beyond the Bible? You never were even in the Bible. What are you talking about? How can you go beyond when you never were part? But they'll take that Word and move it around every way they want to move it around. See? But if the ministration of death written engraved in stone, now comparing the law, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face from Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Which tells you flat, they knew that the glory of the giving of the law wouldn't hold because the law itself, which they looked at, was not what God wanted for them, because they came up with the prophet, the continued communication and worship, and the pillar of fire leading them, and they put it in the law, put it in the book. And the glory had to fail. And they knew that one day it was going to fail. Now, people, when Brother Branham left, they said it failed. And they left. And when 77 rolled by, they said it's worse. And they left. But I've got news for you. The revelation has grown and grown as far as I'm concerned until I can't wait to get that final depth.
Amen.
Because it's not going to die. It's not going to fade. I don't find one sermon I preach anymore but brings more and more what the prophet has said in a greater, more beautiful depth than it ever did, and becoming all the more simple. And we all the more a part of it because it's a part of life. Now he said, how shall not the ministration of spirit be even far more glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And what is righteousness? The beginning of righteousness is a true revelation. So therefore, as the revelation increases to the very perfect day when perfect has come, it's going to be face-to-face marvelous. And this will take us in. So, Brother Bear, I don't know if it will take us in. Well, God said so.
Amen.
And Brother Branham gets in this sermon here, and they, Dr. David said, how are you got 7th, 8th grade education going to... He said, God said so. How are you going to go before kings and princes and so on? God said so. If we're William Branham's children, we better be a God said so people. Not just talk about it, but say it. Now, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. He said, listen, how great was the glory when Luther came out? How much greater glory was it when Wesley came out? How much greater glory when Pentecost came out? And this glory that came out of that will never fade. And if it never fades, what's going to happen? It's going to go plumb to the end. Right to New Jerusalem, while the rest goes to the lake of fire. For if that which is done away was glorious, but now, seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I'm going to get just cold turkey, he said. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil's upon the heart. Now he said, I'm going to get very plain. He said, the trouble with you guys is you're in denomination. He said, you got a plumb veil upon your mind and upon your heart. He said, that's why you can't see it. He said, you're bound by the tradition of elders. He's repeating exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 15. You have made vain my word by your tradition, by what you think about it, by your oral composition. What you pass down as the word is not the word of God. There's no revelation to it. Now, he said, their minds are blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. They're reading it with a misunderstanding. They're reading it with scholarly minds and theological premises. William Branham came on the scene and God read it. The word the way he wanted by vindication and manifestation, which proves the fulfillment of God's word. You know what spirit it is, because only God's spirit will do the things that God said his spirit would do. And these goofy people out there that say the devil heals, they wouldn't know the Spirit of God if God came down and stood in full splendor. They said, get out of here, tramp, you bum, and turn right to the devil. Why? Because they've already embraced the devil. You mean to tell me when Dr. Kelly tells you the truth that it would take 8 solid generations to breed our kids back to good, wholesome food and health? When our kids and you yourself sitting here and even I am so sold on junk food? Oh, come on. You won't get denominations to eat the true food of God. Eagle food, they're going to eat chicken feed. You know what chicken feed is? Well, it's very simple. It's the oats and the wheat and the horse manure. Partly digested. You've got to have a nose like a chicken not to smell it. I don't know. And an eye like a chicken not to see what you're eating. All depends what you're scratching in. Well, the old maid said, and she kissed the cow, every man to his own tea. Oh, you know. Even to this day, Paul said, the veil's upon their hearts. Why? Because they can't let the mind go. They can't repent. So it's down here. Give a look at this message. Look at it and see if there's something to what Brother Brown is saying. See? Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. In other words, when the mind becomes unveiled, unfettered, you repent and say, God, give me the truth, something will happen in your heart. Then that from your heart will start coming back. See? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Himself. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You get free from that. But now watch, we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by Spirit of God. Now, just, I thought when I looked in the glass, I saw myself. Let me look in the Word this morning. And I go over here, let me look in the Word. Oh, this is going to be rich, I think, if I can find it. I never can prove I'm going to find anything, but the Lord's been good to me so far. It might not be good this time, though. I've got to find it. Oh, I found it. Listen, here's what man is. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved both Jew and Gentile, they're under sin. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, no one. That's me. There's none that understandeth. That's me. None that seeketh after God. That's me. All gone of the way. That's me. Together become a problem. That's me. None understand. That's me. Not one. That's me. Their throats are an open sepulcher. That's me. The tongue have used this. That's me. The poison has on the lips. That's still me. A mouth full of cursing bitter. That's terrible. That's me. My Bible says the end time you look in here, you see Jesus. You forget about yourself. You know why? Because every one of us is sure worth forgetting. Oh, God. We're worth forgetting. At the end time, you don't look at yourself, you look at Him. When Christ, who is our life, has appeared, so shall we appear with Him in glory. The testimony of God is that you are the righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. You were tricked into it. And it says we're going from glory to glory, which is in this message, which Paul said, I have the power of life and death, and it was proven by William Branham, proven to him, and Paul had it. There is a stench of death in this message to those who will not believe. There is the odor of heavenly places and the spiritual zephyrs and those who do believe. And Paul says, wherefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now the witness is, do you believe that Paul had that ministry? Amen. He stood there just like God, as though he were God. And he said, I'm going to tell you something about my own heart. I don't have one beat of deceit. And he said, let me tell you how I got this ministry, and I don't faint, because I don't have to. Because we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. The preachers getting together and discussing the Word and drawing a conclusion. And bringing it to you, dear lovely folk, that you should subscribe, because we are so wonderful. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't preachers just make you sick? God vomit that I can vomit too. Preachers, teachers. They sicken me the most because teachers given the responsibility now to be the parents to the kids. No wonder the teachers are going crazy. Can't handle kids. You never back the teachers up. How are they ever going to do anything? Even when I was teaching school, that's 50 years ago. They wanted me to be the parent and the this and the that and the other thing. And I said, for that money, get out of my way. They had me conscripted, you know, I couldn't get the law in Canada. I couldn't get out of teaching or I'd go in the army. I said, forget it. I'll go try the army. They turned me down flat. So I said, well, we want you teaching. I said, like fun you do. Well, they got to get a doctor to get you. So I went to the doctor and I said, hey, you get me out of here. He's a nice Dutch doctor. He said, I can't do it. I said, you will. I said, you know why? Because I'm going to punch the guy in the nose. First thing he comes in. I said, I'm not a fighter to Brock. But I said, I'll hit him. He'll throw me in jail. I'll be out of teaching. He said, you mean it? I said, wouldn't have told you if it didn't. Sign me up. Truth. I can't fight my way out of a wet paper bag, but I sure did that when I bluffed them. How did Paul say? But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, the organization, Moabites, all that, not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, vindication. Vindication does not include craftiness or deceit. Because God does not denigrate His name. With thus saith the Lord, God does not give the devil or anybody the right to use it and then God stand behind it. Now let's keep reading. But if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he tells you right there, the ultimate is exactly what John said, we shall be like him. And we're arriving at it in this very hour. And as we go down the road, we are going with those who came out. But they have retained their organizational demeanor and the word from Pentecost or from other foolish virgin group or whatever. Pentecost chap, you know. Show me where chap makes the rapture. Well, Brother Brand said Pentecost won't make the rapture. No Pentecostal. Oh, well, that couldn't be so because those lovely Pentecostal people, that's what a woman in Norway said. She said, my wife, she told my wife, don't tell me those lovely Pentecostal people will make the rapture. And she was running around with her hair cut in slacks. There'll be a slack time in the old town tonight. Is that what it is? Come on. You can't do that. She was judging the judge. A prophet cannot be judged. If he said it, that's the way it is. Now, if you misunderstand it, I'm sorry. I can do the same thing. But we better be careful here, see? Yes, sir. We have the pillar of fire. We have these things from Almighty God. These are the things that are real to us. Now, I got over here one little note, and I'm going to close. Because we go on and on and on with this type of message, because this is kind of my favorite. Two vines and all those things I love very dearly. Of course, I love all the Word. But over here, Romans 16 maybe is what I want. Romans 16 and 8, I think I've got copied down here. No, see, ain't that either. What am I got here? Well, maybe we don't have anything after all. Oh, yeah. It's the 15th chapter says, verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. The very same thing that Jesus did. First of all, he convinced them by his power, then he went to the word. Moses had the power, went to the word. Paul had the power, went to the word. William Branham had the power, went to the word. It shows you exactly, if you know anything about the word, the nature of God and who's doing this thing. And then when the word comes forth, which is the message of the hour, you believe it, and that is which foreruns the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means you're coming back with him. Because the first time that in that rapture, he does not touch the earth. We go to him. When he literally comes, is Revelation chapter 19, seated upon the white horse, the King of Kings with the sword upon his thigh, and coming back here with the bride, embracing him and ready for the millennium. So, all right, brothers and sisters, as far as we're going to go, we get back to this at some later date, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, quicker, who knows what's going to happen, I don't know. But you can see here where Brother Brown is telling you, does God ever change his mind about his word? Don't be ridiculous. God can no more change his mind about his word than he will change himself. Because for God to literally change his mind about his word is to change himself. And the very prophet of God that comes is the word to the people, the living word of God made manifest. And from that there is a step down where I read to you in 2 Corinthians that we are manifestly to be then the epistles which have been written. In plain English, then, we in our own order are literally a manifestation of God. You say, well, Brother Bale, that sounds pretty tricky. Yes, it sounds tricky, but you didn't listen to the prophet when he told you in Melchizedek. And that is, you bypassed your theophonic form, which if you had not bypassed it, you would have remembered and you would not have gone into sin in the flesh. So where are you this morning? Are you a believer? Say, well, I understand this. I'm looking at Christ. I'm not looking at myself anymore. That's over. When I look in the Bible, I don't see myself. Brother Branham, in the opening of the seals, oh, literally overcome. He was talking about Christ being exposed upon the scene. And everything was Jesus Christ. He was just, you could just feel the man just oozing away in the presence of God. Literally overwhelmed by what he saw. If we believe he's a prophet, brother, sister, And he said, and I might, let me explain it to you. He said, in these trances and visions and what I see, he said, we're like a bunch of kids that were around a big high board fence with a maybe a little knot hole in it. And in there, the circus is going on. And nobody can see. But I'm strong enough to reach up and grab the top bar and pull myself up. And I look through the hole and I say, I see elephants, I see lions. And the kid's down below bleeding. And they see through the eyes of a prophet. Whatever William Branham saw, we saw. Right. Because he was seeing for us, not for himself. He said, the gift is not for me, it's for you. Whatever he received for us. That's right. It was not his. He was merely one given something for us. Completely vindicated by God. So why should we look in the scripture anymore and see ourselves? Why should we not see what Job longed to see? Himself led Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Do you really want to look like Jesus with the long hair and the features, whatever he's got? Do you think maybe growing a beard will do something for you? Now, you're not crazy. You're not simple, stupid little idiots. You know what I'm talking about. You say, Brother Dale, the physical doesn't mean anything. I'm beyond that. Then what are you talking about? I'm talking about being like him. That beautiful one. Never mind my features. Never mind what I look like. I want to be like his being. Well, that's your guarantee. And that's what you see today. Because Brother Branham put time and eternity in one place. He put the lake of fire 1,000 years from now. In this hour, he also put New Jerusalem. You cannot change the order of principle that lies in the life of God. That's the picture this morning. God can't change his mind. There's no way he will do it. And the ultimate is centered upon you and me. When he is completely fulfilled, and we are completely fulfilled because he is. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your goodness to us. That we can be in this place, Lord, one company around the word which we know to be vindicated. We can't say we bleed to be vindicated because absolutely this is the word which was vindicated because he went to this word, and you being the God of this word, the author, the source behind it, the life, you came right back and backed him up. And so we know this is the revealed word. And all we ask, Lord, this morning is that you just help us to get out of the way in our minds and our attitudes and get right down into the spirit of vindication, which is your spirit manifesting to the people, proving what's coming forth is your word. Get into that. That's right, because we got to. And know then that this is the absolute. That there is no use looking beyond it, but there is every use of looking into it. And as we look into it, to see you, our full identification and representation, and knowing through this, we are now the manifestation of this word at the end time. And we know, Lord, the manifestation of the end time was you yourself. So here we are, one together. In that day, as the prophet said, this is one of those days, we'll know that you're in us and we in you, and we're all together in the divine. Even as it will be said at the white throne, and going right on to the full culmination, when the Lamb is on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and before there is a call, there is an answer. Lamb lies down with the lion. Everything is in beautiful harmony. The cactus unfurls, the thorns of the rose unfurl, turn into beautiful blossoms. Nothing shall harm, nothing shall defile. We're looking, Lord, at what man's heart has cried for. And as the prophet said so truly, if there's a cry in the heart, there's an answer out there. And God, we know, even as Cain did not cry, as Abel cried,
No, he just cried for himself and wanted something for himself. There was a great total lack there, disrespect. I trust, Lord, we're all like Abel today. We're not crying just for something for ourselves that we want to take and make something of. But, Lord, we want to be a part of the entire picture of you and your word, Lord. That's what our cry is. And if we don't have it, we'd just soon be annihilated. Not a very nice thought. But we're honest that we don't believe in any in-between place like a purgatory. That's ridiculous. It's either in or out, Lord. We know that there's two sides to that also. There's the wise and the foolish. There's those that bring their glory in. That's wonderful, too, because you're in it. But, Lord, this morning we believe that we've been taught through a vindicated prophet. And we've been brought to the truth into these mysteries that we've received that will put us into the rapture, which absolutely is devoted only to the wise virgin, the true church. So we rest our claim this morning upon what Paul said, absolutely brought to us at the end time again in such clarity, that there is no room for any of us wandering around, which we do, we're sojourners, but to make any error concerning our moves as we're moving under the pillar of fire through the millennium. May all the sick amongst us be healed as the prophet prayed so many times, Lord. May there not be one feeble one amongst us. And there won't be in the rapture, but Lord, even now, as a sign of the resurrection, the sign of the brazen serpent, the water following the people, the pillar of fire, the cloud, all those things, Lord. They're here today, we know. Stirring of the water, life eternal manifested. Father, may we glory in it and thank you for it. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.